After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. This is the word of the Lord.
How good are you at telling the difference between a truth and a lie? Anyone reckon they're good at spotting the difference between a truth and a lie? Okay, let's have a practice. Two statements. One of these is true, one of these is false. Okay. I really love cucumber. I really, really love cucumber. And I've been known to kind of chop it up and put it in my porridge because I love it so much. And I really love pickled beetroot. One of the nicest presents I got last year was two massive jars of pickled beetroot. Okay, which of those do you think is true? Who thinks I love pickled beetroot? Who thinks I love cucumber? Oh, interesting. Okay, you did pretty well. I can't stand cucumber. We don't let the boys say I hate food, but you know, I'm at that end of the spectrum. There are a few words that can express how not keen I am on cucumber. Okay, let's do another one. So a few years ago, I was making a cooked breakfast, and I sliced with a knife, and I damaged a nerve in my ring finger on my left hand. And it looks all right, but I can't actually feel anything in the tip of my left finger. So when Luke was teething, if he bit any of my other fingers, it really hurt. But this finger, I couldn't feel a thing. Right, that's one story. The other is two of my toes. I have this weird thing I inherited from my grandfather where two of my toes are joined together. What do you think it is? Well, one of those is true, one of those is a lie. Who thinks my toes are joined together? Who thinks I can't feel anything in the ring finger of my left hand? Who thinks I'm just messing with you and they're both lies? Okay, so weirdly, two of my toes are joined together. Ian, let's get this over with. I wasn't sure whether I could. I'm a bit squeamish about that. That's my toe. Okay, if you're a bit squeamish with feet, look away now. Okay, yeah, that's plenty enough of my feet. Thank you, Ian. Two claims. One is true, one is a lie. And it's a little bit like that with our story. I say it's a little bit like that with our story from the Bible this morning, because it's not quite the same. See, whether my toes are joined together or whether my ring finger is damaged or whether I like beetroot or cucumber really doesn't matter very much. But it really matters. It really, really matters which version of the story this morning we're going to hear that we believe is true. One is true. The other is a lie. They cannot both be true. It is hard to see how they can both be false. And we have to make a choice. Which of these two stories is true? Now, they're both from the Bible. We're going to have a think about how these two stories, whichever one you go with, will change the way you see everything else in your world. Now, there are various things that everyone agrees on, pretty much. So if all the historians who've looked into this, there is a general agreement that 2,000 years ago, in the first century, there was a Jewish man called Jesus. And he caused this extraordinary stir in his own generation. People were astonished at what he said and at what he did. And he got in trouble with the authorities. And on the Friday of the Jewish Passover, in the year around 33 AD, he was publicly executed and he was put in a tomb that maybe looked a tiny little bit like this one. Okay, so Jesus is put in the tomb. A little while later, the story starts circulating that he's been raised from the dead and his body is missing. That's generally agreed as well. No one ever produced a body. The question is, what happened? It seems like something happened on the Sunday morning. And there are two competing stories. So that is where the agreement ends. And the first story, if you've got a Bible open, it's on page 1000, verse 13. The soldiers said, his disciples came during the night and stole him while we were asleep. In other words, the resurrection, the stories of the resurrection in the Bible are a huge hoax. It is all lies. It is all fake news. It is all about cynicism and manipulation. There is nobody you can really trust. Because this is how it went. Okay, we need a couple of guards. Simeon and Stephen, can I just borrow... I'm so sorry, I should have warned you on this. Can I borrow you from it? I need a couple of people who look mean and scary and intimidating. Can I just borrow you guys for a moment? All right. Okay. All right, the good news is you get a sword out of this. Let's go for a really mean-looking sword. There we go. All right. So we've got swords. There you go. And you can have a berry as well. Okay, so if you're here guarding the tomb, because the authorities have been warned there might be trouble. So they got these hard-as-nails professional killers, Roman soldiers, to guard the tomb. It looks a little bit French, doesn't it? Okay. All right, well, you do make it look pretty cool. Okay, so they're guarding the tomb. And then what happens in the night? Some disciples come. Would anyone like to come and be a disciple? Be very helpful. Anyone want to come and be a disciple? Jesse, Jonas, Ben, you guys going to come and be disciples? You want to be a disciple? You want to be Peter? Okay. See, they're fishermen, so they've got a fishing net here. Okay. So they're going to come. Noah? No. The disciple? No. Peter doesn't need a sword. No, he lost his sword on Good Friday night. There we go. Jesus told him to put it away. Okay. So there we are. We've got our fishermen here. And they're coming in the middle of the night, sneaky beaky. So you're tiptoeing really quietly, and they come to the tomb. Now, they are in luck, because these two hard as nails, probably four hard as nails, professional, trained killer Roman soldiers, happen to be asleep at just the right moment. So if you could just go to sleep for a moment. The disciples need to come. Okay, now, guys, can you very quietly, so you don't wake the guards, can you roll the stone away, boys? We need to roll the stone away without waking the guards. Okay. And you need to sneak in with your hearts racing. There's a body here wrapped in a sheet. It was probably not a Spider-Man duvet cover back in Jesus' day. Okay, now you're going to sneak away with Jesus' body. Now wait, because we're just going to press pause here for a moment. Because the biggest problem, I mean, there's all kinds of problems with this, but the question, I mean, it's possible, isn't it? This could have happened, theoretically. The question I've got is why are they doing it? So let's say we've got, where's Peter? Matthew, you were going to be Peter, weren't you? So Peter, come here. We asked Peter, why did you steal the body? And Peter says, it's because I really like the thought of all the power, all the glory, all the authority, all the fame I'm going to get from this. People are going to take me really seriously if they think Jesus has raised from the dead. And we say, even though the authorities are literally going to kill you for this. He goes, yeah, that's going to be great. And then maybe there's Bartholomew, right? And Bartholomew, he's a bit of a joker. And he says, this is just going to be really funny. It's just a really good prank. Everyone's going to think Jesus rose from the dead when he didn't. Ha, 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 ha. Okay, and then maybe we've got John. John, you're going to stand up for a moment. You're doing an excellent job tying your shoelaces there. So John, we asked John, he's a bit of a dreamer. Why did you steal the body? And he says, because I totally believe in Jesus. And I want everyone else to know that the things he stood for are true, like truth and integrity and Jesus' power to transform lives. And we say, even though it's a lie. And he goes, well, you know, sometimes the means justifies the ends. Okay, brilliant. Good job, the disciples. Thank you. You guys can go and sit down. We're gonna put the body there for a minute. Okay, guys, you can sit down for a few minutes. We're gonna need you back in a little while, if that's all right. Thank you so much. We'll need some other folk in a minute. Do we get what's happened in that story? It is saying that the resurrection was an enormous hoax. It was a cruel joke. There was no resurrection. Whatever was special about Jesus, he was not that special. And anyone tells you that there is real hope in this life, if anyone tells you that there is any chance of life getting better, of life beyond the grave, that there is anything solid in this life that you can hold on to, they are either deluded or more likely they are lying to you. There is, if you want to make sense of life, the application is be cynical. Trust no one. Life will never get any better. There is no happy ever after. The story of the cross, the story of your life, and the story of the universe all end in despair. Okay, so we get the idea there are two stories, there are two claims about what happened that first Easter Sunday morning. One is true, one is a lie, and we have to decide for ourselves which one it is. So the story we've just thought about, Jesus is still dead, the disciples stole the body, at the heart of reality is cynicism and lies. There's another version though. So we might need the guards back up. And the way this one starts is with two women going to the tomb. So could we have a couple of people to be Mary? Would anyone like to be Mary? Holly and Grace, Nikki, do you guys want to come on up? We've got two Marys, and they're coming to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. And they have spices, turmeric powder, cloves, cumin seeds. We're going to make an amazing curry if there's nobody there. And some perfume to anoint Jesus' body with. Don't spray that on yourself because that's the air freshener from our bathroom. So, okay. But they are coming to the tomb. So if you come towards the tomb, they're wondering how they're going to move that great big stone because in reality that hadn't fallen back and collapsed. All right. They come to the tomb and then there is suddenly this massive earthquake. If you've got it there, it's there in verse 2. The whole place is shaking. And I was trying to think, who is that? Because in the Bible, angels are scary, they're terrifying, they're intimidating. Who is there in the church family who we could possibly ask to play the role of the angel this morning? And I wonder whether the angel is our angel there this morning? Esau? Seriously? Okay. Esau? Okay, so Esau, we'll run with that. Okay. The violent earthquake, angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb. He rolled back the stone. So if I roll this stone back over here. Oh dear, there we go. Try not to break the whole tomb. There we go. Right, so the stone goes there. The angel of the Lord comes and sits on the stone. Well done, Esau. Good work. Are you coming around to the stone? Esau, are you going to come and sit on the stone? It's this side, the other side. There we go. Well done. And the guards at this shake and become like dead men. So the guards... You can kind of like fall over without. It doesn't have to be too dramatic. We don't want any injuries. We haven't risk assessed this properly. Right. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Esau, do you want to read what the angel said to us, verses 5-7?
Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.
Oh, fantastic. Well done, Esau. Okay, now at this point, guys, how good are you at acting? Are you quite good? Okay, right. The women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Can I see your... Do you want to show us a filled with joy face? Do you want to turn around so everyone can see a big, smiling, filled with joy face? And at the same time, a terrified face? And smile at the same time. I don't know how you do those both at the same time, but it makes sense, doesn't it? Because their best friend has just died. And there's been an earthquake. And an angel has just appeared. And they haven't even had breakfast yet. And there's just this amazing chance that maybe it's not over. That Jesus really is alive. Guys, can we have a round of applause for the Marys and for Esau? Well done. Thank you. Shall I take those back? Brilliant. Well done, guys. Thank you. Okay, and a round of applause for the guards as well who did it. That was spectacular. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. See, this is what happens next, verse 9, if you've got it open. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. We're talking about two God-fearing Jewish women who know the only person you worship is God. And they look at Jesus and they say, we can see God. This is what God is like. This is the God who would go to hell and back for us. And he is alive. He's not alive in some kind of vague spiritual sense. He's not with us in spirit. He's not living on in our hearts and minds. He is physically there. Whatever the resurrection life looks like, it includes long country walks, barbecues by the beach, tearful reunions, talking long into the night with friends about the things that really matter. If this is the resurrection life, I want it. Jesus is alive. Now, if that is true, it changes everything. Because it means that death has been defeated, a death has been spun into reverse. This story is not naive. It's not saying you can trust everyone. It starts with a man being betrayed by his friends, an innocent man being put to death. It's not a naive story. It's not saying you can trust anyone, but it's saying you can trust Jesus. It means that at the heart of reality is this claim that we are living in a planet that has been invaded by hope. And so the way to navigate life is not cynicism. It's not manipulation. It's not doubting. It's not a kind of doubt and cynicism. It is trust. What we need to navigate life is trust in the Lord Jesus. So this morning, the question is in front of all of us. Which is it? Which of those two claims do you believe? It's a little bit like the beetroot and the cucumber, except on an infinitely more serious scale. One is true. One is a lie. Which is it? And either the tomb was empty, it was a prank, it was a lie, it was a hoax, it was a joke, or Jesus really is alive. Death is beaten. And even in the midst of grief, we can know joy because Jesus is alive. Amen.